Good morning, everyone. My name is Todd Cochran, and you are watching the Saturday Morning Tech Show. I've got Andy McCaskey up on top. Andy, it's been a couple of weeks. How are you?
I'm doing well, but man, what a crazy week we have had here. You know, you come back from this trade show, and you've got, let me dig here, you got stacks of these cards that you're trying to go through and make sure that you capture, that you do what you promised that you're going to do, and all of that. And, you know, it's kind of fun, but boy, it's a lot that hits you right when you come back.
Well, I know that you went off to an RV event. So, you know, before we get into the content, what was that all about? What type of RV event was it?
This is a dealer event that was in San Antonio, Texas, for the TRVA, the Texas RV Association. And it was just great to have a chance to meet some folks. And it looks like, Todd, we might have some bandwidth issues here. As I mentioned, I'm kind of uploading some stuff at the same time, and if necessary, I can go and kill that upload here. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, your video went a little ugly. I switched to, and I was like, oh, he doesn't look so good blurred. People think you're out of focus, so I'll keep you up there in that top camera for a little bit. But did you get a chance to watch last week's hangout?
I watched just a couple of minutes of it, just kind of sampling across. I think you had a really interesting time from what I understand.
It was interesting, I think, from the perspective that, you know, we were kind of just right at this point, and then boom, in jumped one of the folks that were, you know, following me in Google Plus, and we didn't make that a private hangout, which was okay. We wanted to have people jump in. But lo and behold, I had a whole stack of stuff to talk about that we never even covered in the least.
Oh, and well, maybe we can go ahead and run through your list to kind of have a twofer show. We'll have two shows worth of tech content.
Yeah.
And the opinions here offered are worth exactly the cost of admission. That's right.
But I think one thing, not to belabor it because everyone got enough YouTube stuff last week, but definitely two trains of thought, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really are, and I think that you know, YouTube has such powerful reach, but there are certainly some things to think about. In a commercial sense, do you want to have your hot item there, and when the guy clicks on it, then the competitor, your competitor comes up with content right beside there, and it's very easy for your prospect to, you know, from a business perspective, it's very easy for your prospect to say, hey, here's another deal. Let me look at that one. And before you know, all that money, all that effort you've had to attract them to your site, you know, it's gone.
Yeah. So, you know, what Andy's referring to is if you have your own .com and you put a YouTube video in that page and you click on it and it takes you to YouTube and it brings you to the YouTube site, you know very well on the right-hand column of the page is all the other semi-related videos. And if you're got your shingle hung and you spent thousands of dollars on video production for a video, and then you put it up on YouTube, I think you're just like, man, just take a gun to your head. I think that's, I don't think it's a very smart thing to do. Now, from a content creator, from my standpoint, it's great for discovery. But if I'm a business guy, I'd have to really think twice.
Right. Well, and it does have its use. And I think it's very dependent on the type of content that you have. But, you know, if you're selling a 1996 Ford pickup truck, there's a lot of other 1996 Fords that are listed as well that are going to come up right beside yours. So you better be careful.
And you better be prepped and ready to go. Well, yeah. One thing I know that you were off doing some, you know, off to this event last week, but I wanted to talk to you for just a second about my server move.
Oh, yes. Do tell.
You know, I was, I got two servers. I have one that Geek News Central runs most of my domains, And then I had another server that was basically kind of like serving up Flash. It would serve up Roundtable stuff. It was just, you know, kind of like this catch-all server, and that we would bandwidth it to death. And I didn't use it to serve my content for my show, but it was just kind of these one-off type things that I would do. And it was really pretty much overkill, to be honest with you. But I tried to SSH into that bad boy one morning and couldn't get, well, it hung up. So I did a requested a reboot, and the reboot message came back from GoDaddy. And so I said, oh, okay, let me go ahead and get into this box. And I tried to SSH in again, and it basically said, uh-uh, you're not getting in. It didn't even give me the username prompt. So I said, okay, there's something wrong with that box. And a few hours later, the phone rings, and it was that machine was thoroughly, I mean, Andy, it was thoroughly owned. I mean, it was from top to bottom. They had a mail server running on it. They were running an IRC chat server. They were running it, just, you know, whatever else that they were doing with it, we don't know. GoDaddy said, oh my goodness. But they basically said, okay, you know, you got a few hours to get your stuff, whatever you can get off there. And we, you know, we caution you, everything on that machine is suspect. Every PHP, every file you have on there. So I took accounting of what we had and knew that the MP4s would be safe. I knew that certain files would be all right. I downloaded the whole machine, scanned it here, and then I went through every XML, every SWF file, it was like hours to go through and make sure that those were all clean. Now, what really saved me is there was no PHP servers running on that. There was no WordPress sites running on it. And so those all came back with a clean bill of health. And basically, I called GoDaddy and I said, okay, reprovision it. And they did. Now, when they did reprovision it, I went right in immediately and installed fail to ban, did a number of different things right off the very get-go. Actually kind of made it a little bit of a honeypot. And I've been watching over the past week to 10 days since this happened. There's nothing on the machine. As a matter of fact, I've rolled out a couple of new machines, but just watching the attempts by these folks to get back in has been an educational process in itself. Just the sheer amount of they want back into that box.
Now, do you have an external hardware box in front of this?
No.
Or are you depending upon the defenses of the box itself?
Yeah, just depending on the boxes itself. You know, using the and you know, what's funny is on the other machine, I had all the firewalls and all the rules set up so that really the only people that could connect to it were me, with my laptop and my desktop, and one other person who I trust that had, basically we used dynamic DNS to create basically the machine knows that this is my machine. There's an authentication process. And, through that basically, and that's the reason why that other machine, well, I don't know what, they don't know how I got into it, but the other machine was completely clean. Cause I asked them, oh my goodness, well, go ahead and scan my other computer, on my other server, and they did that, and they went through it and said, "Yeah, it's fine. There's nothing on it. It's running clean." But it was just time, and I was already in the process of upgrading GeekNewsCentral.com server because I'd been on that box for 6 years, and hardware has changed a lot in 6 years, and so now GNC is on about probably a 5 times more powerful machine, and it's very evident. You know, I load WordPress and I go in and do something. I hit publish and it's boom, it's done. It used to be 30 seconds before it was done. And page loads are faster. And but overall, you know, I guess I can, you know, knock on wood here that it's been, we went 6 full years without any, and really in that machine, it was a utility machine. I really, I really didn't pay a lot of attention to it, to be honest with you. So it was my own fault.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, I know, do you use Plesk as the front end for the management of your server, or are you using a different program?
I use Webmin, and it's only on when I'm on it. The rest of the time, I don't use Plesk or anything else. Have you used Plesk before?
Yeah, that's it's one of those things that it certainly helps me, you know, at my technical level to be able to get in there and yep. do things. The only annoyance that I have is, you know, any UI is going to have certain quirks, and once you get it figured out, if you use the tool every day, it would be, you know, in your muscle memory. You could just whip through it.
Right.
But when you're only in there, you know, every week or 10 days to, you know, to do something, you never develop the deep skills that you need. Then all they need to do is do a rev and change the UI, and all of a sudden menus aren't where you thought they would be. And, okay, I know how to do this, and how do you do that now under the new thing? So I'm getting my money's worth out of the assisted support from GoDaddy.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I just looked at that option, and it was just a little bit too rich for me. But if you're, you know, if you're using that a lot, that's good. And, you know, that way they go in there, and you've got a professional looking at that on a, you know, on a regular basis, applying the patches, doing all that stuff. So, you know, it's it was a bit of a surprise, you know, and here I'm always harping security. Now, here's what really probably saved me, Andy, was that both those servers had different root passwords. You know, they were vastly different. And but what was a little scary is that root password was not used anywhere else, but the folks at GoDaddy said that root server was compromised. That root password was compromised. Now, they probably, once they got in it, whichever way they got in, they installed some keylogger or did something to, you know, figure out. I don't know exactly how they did that, but the first thing that goes through your mind is, did I use that password anywhere else? And
a coffee shop in Tulsa, I think.
Well, no, and what I have went to now is the auto generation of passwords. I don't even allow myself now to create my own. I just basically say, okay, create me a password. It's one of those about that long. And then I store that in a basically a key pass type of thing, where there's I have to have one master password to get into the encryption file to unlock it to see what the password is. But other than that, it was kind of, you know, it just basically wasted 3 or 4 of my days, you know, with stuff that I could have been doing other way. You know, it's not one of those planned events. For sure.
Well, exactly. And I knew that you were in the process of doing an upgrade on your servers there. And, you know, one of the other things that I have used Amazon AWS from time to time for, you know, little experimental sorts of things.
Yeah.
But up until now, I've not used it from a production standpoint. But yeah, you have to be just as mindful on a virtual server as you are on that physical box.
Well, believe it or not, it's actually easier to secure an Amazon box than it is a physical box.
Why is that?
It's a part of it to do with the keys and they are easier to secure. Angela was talking about it. I mean, he was going into this in-depth thing on why. I don't understand it because
Angelo,
I'm not
going in depth when you ask a question. I can't imagine that.
So anyway, he, you know, he basically,
I love you watching. That's a compliment. That's not a complaint.
Oh, I know. So, you know, it's, you know, and he explained the whole thing, and I'm like, okay. And he's even talking between machines and all this other stuff. And, I'm not that big of a geek, but he knows Amazon EC2 and all the interactions over there. We have transferred, because we just couldn't get a big enough server, transferred blueberry.com, Tech Podcast, ProMed, Travelcast. They're all running on EC2. Our stat server, we're now running on, I think an M1 large or bigger. It's a pretty big, hefty machine, but I think if you go into the stat system, you're going to see just a remarkable difference. We were laughing because when he would process log files, you would imagine what we would do is we'd pull them every hour over into the system. And then the machine, the old machine, would sit there and hammer at them for 20 minutes to get them processed. And then 40 minutes later, you're going out and you're making another grab. And of course, during those 20 minutes that the machine was processing the logs, the machine's sluggish and people's pages weren't loading quick. I said, okay, so he was talking and he said, well, I'm going to import, I have to import a whole month because, you know, this move and blah, blah, blah. And he said, I'm going to start this here and we can start talking. So he started the process on a whole month's worth of logs, like 3 minutes. And,
oh, wow.
And I'm like, hey, we can start our updating of log files to a faster basis now because the machine can handle it. I was in 64-bit and multiple processors, and it's so now I'm pretty happy because I can go into, when I'm building campaigns, I'm not waiting on the doggone server now. So that's good, but yeah, not at a cheap price tag.
Right, and that reminds me, we absolutely owe a shout out to Kevin Devon in Seattle, who wrote that first Perl script.
Yeah,
and I guess that'd have been in early 2005.
Yeah,
that all of us were using to crunch our logs, and I mean that was just such an integral part of the whole process, and he put a lot of work into that.
And I still have that on a file here somewhere, and it still works on a regular Apache log file. It's kind of a way I will do accounting on some people. Sometime they'll send me their Apache log, and of course it doesn't do everything that we do now. But it'll give you those raw, it'll give you those raw counts, and it'll count the robots and everything. But, we've been spending some time in the stats system, and as a matter of fact, there's been an update to the interface. I haven't even looked at it yet because I think he finished it yesterday. I don't know if he uploaded it, but, yeah, we're just, streamlining and cleaning up and adding features. And it's, it's just one of those times to be able to do that. But we've got a whole bunch of, continually, it seems like the list of stuff in the fire never slows down whatsoever.
Boy, that's a fact. And it's one of those rules of a video, of course, is that things are always going to take, can often take much longer than you had anticipated. That's a kind way of phrasing it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I did, Andy, is I spent about 5 hours, literally about a full 5 hours, working on our sponsorship deck for CES. It's going through we got a couple more things to add to it. I got to get some pictures in. I have, what else? Mindy had went through and built it, and I got it. And then I went through and chopped the hell out of it and made some changes. But we are probably on Monday going to be in 100% full swing looking for sponsors for CES. I think that, we have a couple of good leads on some very potential advertisers. So we're going to run that up the flagpole with them first and see if we can get it in one fell swoop. If we can, that would be fantastic. So we'll keep you guys advised, but been talking with the CEA folks. They were happy with us last year with everything that we did. As a matter of fact, they basically said that we had outperformed a large percentage of everyone else there. In the amount of content, amount of coverage, amount of vendors that we saw, because I turned that report into them, and they were pretty excited about those data points. And anyway, that's kind of what's on tap with CEA. And then I'm a little bit nervous because, I basically kind of stuck my foot out there and said we want a better location for the booth. And I have not yet gotten a reply back on you know, what kind of a space we're going to be able to get this year. So, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens here. It's I was wishing we'd be a little bit further down the road at this point, but I don't think we got our actual booth assigned to us last year until later, right? October or something like that.
I think it was October. Yeah. When we had that. And I guess I'm kind of two minds with that because, that was not an ideal location, but kind of a known location. If we gladly swap that out for subsidized bandwidth. Let me just put it that way.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, we're really quite excited about it because I've got two folks that are interested from a teaming standpoint, from a couple of our tech shows. One of them is Phil May, from, Gadgetplex, and his company Techno RV. And he's kind of like a general, geek type of guy. Obviously mobile and wireless being his main interests. And then Andy Smith from the geocaching world. And of course he's all about any kind of handheld technology that has geolocation information put in. And those two guys there are fired up and ready to go. And of course we've been talking with Cara Karsten, who's we're trying to entice her back as a chief cat herder and keeping all of us on task and in line, in addition to doing a couple of videos and you know, we're just it's starting to come together, and this is always kind of like the highlight of the year.
And it's it'd be nice if we get that highlight backed up with some money.
That'd be doubly nice.
Yeah, with enough sponsorship money to make it happen. You know, I don't think people realize really the cost. You know, our fixed cost alone, it's you know, it's approaching 25,000. You know,
13 people on the ground.
Yeah, 13 people on the ground, all the gear, everything else. Yeah, it's like 25 grand at least. You know, is just to get there. You know, get there and just not us before a single piece of tape or meal has been served. So, yeah.
Right.
Well, let me go ahead.
I hope that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and then the other thing that is the enthusiasm of Tech Podcast members in supporting this. What, we had 12, 13 shows that were simulcasting last year.
26
on their site.
26 total.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was 20.
I knew that it was a large number. I didn't realize it was that large.
Yeah, it was 26 was the total. And then they really helped a lot. You know, we end up with 401,000 viewer hours during the 45 hours of content.
Wow.
Yeah, 400. That's what Ustream tells us, that we had 401. How they figure that, I don't know. But that's what they said we had for total. Of course, the system was running. We were live 45 hours, but we were live for essentially 5 days. The system was on streaming for 5 days.
Well, and people around the world are interested in that content.
Right.
So that's a good thing to be able to have that coverage available and looping for people.
Right. So... yeah, so, you know, it's just, I can't believe, you know, here it is. It's, you know, it's August. I'm already knee deep, you know. And, you know, I look at the other folks that go to more shows, and they just have to have dedicated people to do that, you know, that organize that. You look at Leo, and Leo's going to, what, 4 or 5 events a year now, maybe more. And, you know, that's, of course, I don't think they go with the biggest rig as they do to CES, but... it is kind of an interesting thing to watch. Hey, I want to show you something, you know, something that I'm going to bring up the TechCrunch website, and it's actually an article that I want to talk about today too, is
okay.
Maybe I've just been completely oblivious to this, and they've had this website designed for a while, but have you seen what happens when you scroll up, that scrunches down up there at the top left-hand corner? Did you see how that happened?
That is very cool.
Yeah, that is, isn't it?
It's got to be an HTML5 thing going.
That the ad rolls out of the way, and then and then the, you know, little comment bar here on the side, it stays fixed.
Right.
That's a slick, slick design. I like that very much. So anyway,
I'm sure. Have you loaded Lion on any of the machines there?
Yeah, I've got all of them upgraded. So.
Have you got your reverse scroll reflexes set up properly?
You know, who is Steve Jobs? What right did he have to decide all of a sudden that scroll needed to be the other way?
Just had to get you in the right way of thinking there, Todd.
Yeah, right.
I haven't put Lion on any of the machines here yet.
Well, when you do, you'll get fun. You can change that, Andy, so you don't have to deal with that anymore. You can switch it. I haven't switched it. I've been okay with it.
Uh huh.
But I think your bandwidth cleaned up.
I think that if that's the biggest drawback that we have in the system, then that'll be okay.
You know something? I think your upload quit. Your video cleared up.
And oh, okay. Well, that's good. I was pushing about 3 gigs worth of stuff here this morning, so it just takes a while.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Apple iOS 5 phasing out developer access to the UDID. Have you heard about this?
I heard parts of that, and I've also heard on some of the other shows people talking about the concern. Yeah, we love this comfortable ecosystem, and you know it's great. It's a wonderland. But the precedent that it is setting and the direction that we're heading towards, that could be really be troublesome. And where an independent developer, if he's not accepted in the store, then that particular app never sees the light of day.
Or with this UDID change, now Apple will be able to use the UDID data to send you advertisements, but now gamers and every other company are going to have to come up with their own ID system to identify customers on their own. So if they've collected any data since the devices have been out, all of that is going to be essentially they'll have no way to cross correlate who is who, and so the developers are scrambling. They don't know exactly, you know, what they're going to do here, but obviously Apple is pulling the rug out from underneath them, and some think it's another nefarious thing that they're doing to essentially take a little more control and tighten the silo down a little bit, you know. So I don't know. I'll see what happens with this development. But of course, you know what, the UDID is that unique identifier for your phone, so I kind of like it. They're not going to let people track me that way, but I think we'll see a slew of updates and probably required to log in to all these different apps here in the near future.
Yeah, Todd, you need to get some coffee, man. You're starting to. it's early in the morning for you, right?
Yeah, coffee. I don't drink coffee, so I'm good.
I thought I heard a stifled yawn and
maybe
as you were talking.
Maybe. I stayed up pretty late last night. I'm getting ready to go to Albuquerque tonight. I'm flying out tonight, so I was trying to get trying to get stuff set up.
So you're gonna move from 82 degrees up to 102?
Whatever it is out there. They're a little higher up, so it's not as hot. But I will tell you this. I've been thinking about since I knew I was going out to Albuquerque, I've been thinking about this. They have this they have a restaurant called Frontier there. There's one down by the college, and then there's one for those that know Albuquerque out by Eubank, which is on the other side of town. And they have this burrito, Andy. It's called the Frontier Burrito. Man, I pumped this thing enough. Anyone going to Albuquerque is going to have to go to Frontier. It's a burrito that they put this fresh green chili sauce on top. First stop, Frontier. Because I gotta get a Frontier burrito. It's funny how you know certain towns you go to and there's certain things you really like, and it's like that's the first stop you're gonna make.
Yes.
And
yeah, that That's absolutely true.
I'm sure it's about 1,500 calories, but I don't care. So,
well, and you know, that's the sort of thing that heretofore had been, you know, kind of a secret amongst travelers, but then you can tweet that out, and good or bad, that information is going to get out through all the people you're connected with.
That's right. And everyone, of course, that lives in Albuquerque that I'm talking to about having, you know, we're having a meetup, they all know about Frontier Burrito, and I'm sure they're saying, no, don't tell people about it, you know, because it is a kind of a local deal. All college students, anyone that's went to the University of Mexico knows, University of New Mexico, excuse me, have known about Frontier, because it's right there. It's one of those main college, kind of college shops that people cheap. So,
that's like the XXX in West Lafayette.
Yeah. Here is a, here's, get your credit card, Andy, ready, Andy, okay?
Okay.
Let me show you this here. Hang on. Let me flip up the right, set this up right. Over at precentral.net, you can get yourself a 16 gig HP touchpad for $99.
I saw that now's the time to move on that one.
$99. Is it, you know, even though it's not going to be supported, or, you know, are you going to buy one?
You know, I really hadn't given much serious thought to it. I'm amazed. You know, those ads are still running on regular network television. I guess that insertion order is just going to ride it on out, even though all of this is going on in the, you know, in the real world.
Yeah, $99. And, you know, that's
how many apps do they feature with that?
I don't know, Andy. I really don't. But they're saying that they've already got this thing hacked and it's going to be able to run Honeycomb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Well, now that becomes a much more interesting. Well, I mean, it's interesting in itself. If you think about, you don't have to have, if you're not going for a particular app,
right,
on the iPad, and if you're just going to be consuming, the usual suspects and browsing the web, then that could be very useful.
Right, and I'm looking at it here. I actually tried to click the add to cart button, and it's it's sold out. It's gone at that price point. But I think you're going to see
this. There's one at $150 too, right?
Yeah, let's see. Let's try to add that one to the cart.
Does that include 3G?
It does. No. It's only Wi-Fi. So I'm trying to press the add to cart on that one too, and it's not doing nothing. So, you know, maybe we missed it. But they're saying this is going to, the prices are going to roll everywhere. So if you see Best Buy or someplace like that, then you want one, you need to haul butt and get them, because you know they're going to go off the shelf quick at $99. And people are going to be clueless buying them because they're not.
And then the other thing is that there may be some eBay speculation going on here as well.
Yeah, they say that one of the folks that are in the chat room says that they're sold out over many stores. You can't get it on HP either. Best Buy is reporting it's sold out. And HP site says that the 149 32 gig is sold out. So it's only, the price has only been down about 12 hours. So people moved quick on those. So we may have missed the opportunity to get a device that was being put in the defunct category. So,
I'm doing my to-do list here, Todd.
Are you? Okay. I wonder what you're writing there. So what do you think about the whole the whole HP decision?
Well, you know, as a former HP employee and pretty strong advocate at the proxy fight of the century, or of the 21st century, that occurred about 10 years ago, I think there were a lot of people that had very serious reservations about getting into that business. And so it looks like it's kind of come around. And as a stockholder, you have to say, yeah, that worked out pretty well.
Well, you know, I've got an HP desktop down here, and I got an HP laptop over here. that, you know, so, you know, I've had no problem with their hardware, but, you know, I'm getting ready to buy another Windows laptop. I'm due for one. So I was over on Dell's site the other day looking at their machines, and there's just so many options out there. And, of course, I want something that's got lots of cores because I seem to never have enough horsepower when I'm on the road and I travel so much. And, you know, people can't believe I travel with a 17-inch laptop. But, you know, if you spend 2 weeks out of a month in a hotel somewhere, the last thing you want to be looking at is a 14-inch screen. And so it's, you know, you start adding cores and, you know, these laptops are cheap, but when you want some performance, you still are paying a huge premium for them.
Yep.
It's still not.
And I think.
Go ahead.
That's something that when you began to look at, you know, Macs being expensive hardware, the MacBook Pro and so forth. But then when you begin to duplicate, you know, the hardware performance level, it really narrows very, very, very quickly. Looks like the sun's starting to rise there in Hawaii, and I see that you've got your auxiliary switching system being pulled into place.
It just went into place, and the window got pulled, so we'll see how long before the sun rises enough to find its way through that little hole that's right there. It keeps putting a dot right in my forehead every time we do the... At some point, I'm going to invest in some curtains here that will work. I kind of cut it like a drop cloth.
Better, a little bit of duct tape positioned at the right place on the window could solve your problem, right, Todd?
Well, my wife has a little bit of an issue with me putting tape or stuff on the window. It becomes a... You know, okay, it's so cool you do whatever you're going to do in the house, but when people can start seeing duct tape on the window from the outside of the house, then we've got a problem.
Houston, we have a problem.
yeah. So, I'm getting lots of good stuff in the chat room on the Best Buy return policy and saying that they've extended the return policy of HP stuff up to 60 days. So, maybe some people will get scared and maybe we'll get lucky and be able to pick one of those up. Okay, well, you know, we'll see what happens with HP, but I don't think it spells well for WebOS. They say they're going to continue to support it, but, you know, they had all hands meeting and said, some of you are going to be let go. So, you know, the good people we're going to keep. Yeah, that means they're going to put them on different projects. But, you know, having them chose the Qualcomm chip and been locked into that from the get-go was the, you know, a big problem. Now, I don't understand, and I don't know anything about this company they bought out of the UK. Do you know anything about them?
No, I don't. And of course, that would be on the enterprise side of HP. And the only thing that I can assume is that they're trying again to remain competitive with Oracle and IBM. And making sure that they're playing at that enterprise level. One of the things I'm curious about is how long their enterprise level server business will continue in the face of the pressures of virtualization, cloud-based computing, and so forth. And I know there's still a lot of emphasis that's being placed on dedicated hardware, but the buzz is certainly around virtualized and cloud-based systems.
Well, I guess we'll have to see, but it definitely brings a big opening. You just wonder, what will HP's presence be at CES? I'm sure they've already bought their space. So what are they going to have there? Are they going to drop? Are they not going to be at the show?
Don't know. You know, expanded printers. I mean, printers are still accounting, I believe, for well over half their net profit in spite of all these other activities. And so that's certainly going to be, you know, continue to be a major presence, I would think.
Well, maybe that'll be some of the freed up space that we'll get access to.
Maybe. But then, of course, Todd, we got to look forward to 3D televisions. You know, if you thought last year we had 3D everywhere, that's what you need to do. We need to have a special 3D feed. Maybe we can set up Andy.
Yes, your audio went to hell in a handbasket.
It did. Let me change something here again.
As I'm getting like this, it sounds like you're talking on a 19.
Is this any better?
It's whatever you change, it's better. I don't know if it's just Skype just cleaned up or what.
No, that's back to the internal microphone in the computer itself. Now let me toggle back to the headset mic.
It's a headset. It's the headset that's causing.
This is very disappointing because this is a Dynex, and normally I don't badmouth particular products, but this is the second one that I've had that has had a problem with that. It's sold under the Dynex brand and also the Cyber Acoustics brand. I found after about half an hour of use, it will gradually, I don't know whether it's thermal or whatever, but it will gradually begin to distort.
You know, Dynex is a great brand, Andy. It reminds me of some of those other brands that I used to know as kids. That when you'd walk to Kmart and you'd see the radios on the shelf, you'd be like, "What is that name of that company?" It's one of those things that you would avoid.
Okay.
Actually,
I should have gotten paid the $70 for the Logitech and done it right.
Because what have you paid? You paid $30 for the Dynex twice, right? pay me now or pay me later. Yeah, one of the person says, unplug it, plug it back in, see if it clears it. But it's okay. You're okay on.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the internal mic in Amex, so there you go.
So we were just
too soon, old. Played smart, I think, is the way the bumper sticker runs.
Yeah. So I guess the next thing is then really, since HP wants to get out of the hardware business, are we going into a time when it's less about the hardware and more about the software?
I think it's almost the combination of the app and then overall ease of use. I have to admit, I love this situation where I purchase the app once and then go over to another machine and log on, and it just plops right down on the dock. You know, you've already purchased it, so here it is. And that level of ease of use is hard to beat.
Yeah, it is. It's, there's rumor, and I was going to talk about it later in the show, that Microsoft is launching an app store too, but somehow with Windows 8, I don't think that they're going to give us, five copies of Windows 8 for the price of one.
Well, and they have a problem in that you've got such a variable target as far as the range of hardware that it would have to run on. You don't have this totally locked down, controlled ecosystem.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting move. What Apple implemented here was brilliant. It was the cheapest software upgrade I've ever done on any. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Macs that. For $29, I updated, and one of the machines are older, couldn't take the upgrade. It was the first generation Intel that it could not upgrade. But so what? I don't want something running on that machine that it couldn't handle anyway. But it is it was interesting. But I guess what we're going to have to watch with all these folks. You look at. Software as a service and, the stuff back in the cloud. And it's what is old is new again. So it's kind of an interesting time to watch. But definitely with not running on mainframes anymore, it's just regular server sitting in a box. But have you been, moving on to a different topic here, have you been using Firefox or Chrome lately?
I probably spend 80% of my time in Chrome. Firefox to me is getting weighted down. There's only a couple of extensions that seem not to run in Chrome that I still keep for Firefox. And if those extensions would work, I'd probably be 95% of the time in Chrome.
The thing that I'm seeing is they're doing updates so fast, the plugins are dropping off. The plugins are not supported. So I've got a stack of plugins that are not updated because the rollout is going so quick. Firefox 7 beta has just hit, and they're putting priority on performance. And I think it's about time, because definitely I can have 30 windows open in Chrome and still not have the machine, the browser crash. But if I have 30 tabs open in Firefox, you know, it's like my machine comes to a halt. So it's kind of interesting how they now recognize that they need to work on performance.
Yeah, I particularly enjoy the download monitoring in Chrome, of just being able to keep track of what you've got going at that particular time and kind of the relative progress thereof.
So I think I find myself opposite of you. I find myself probably 80% still in Firefox and 20% still in Chrome, and it's largely because it's just, you know, it's what I click, and I really don't think about it. But for my show prep, I definitely use Chrome. But Firefox says they're going the way of Chrome, and they're not going to be putting version numbers on software any further. It'll be like a build number, but you're just going to get an update, and it's going to be Firefox. It's not going to be Firefox version 7, 8, 9, 10. It's just going to be build such and such. Which is probably a smart
move. Well, that's unusual. Where attention span wise, you're slower than me. It's usually the reverse.
On what, Andy?
I'm just saying. You're usually leading that.
Oh.
And it's either a need for speed or it's a small attention span.
Well, I don't know. I just, and I think part of it too is it's just a default, you know, it's my default icon on my desktop, and I have to go looking for Chrome. So if I switch those two out, and another thing too is I'm using one service that is not available on the Chrome that I do need on Firefox. So that might be part of it as well. So, but anyway. Clearwire is apparently close to a tipping point here. Sprint is supposedly in talks with Comcast, Time Warner, and Brighthouse Networks to raise up the $600 million that Clearwire needs to transition to a LTE network. And it appears that Sprint may be on the verge of trying to do some sort of a deal and maybe sucking Clearwire into the fold. You know, we've already got heavy lack of competition. We don't, you know, we've got AT&T buying T-Mobile. We've got Verizon. We've got AT&T pulling shenanigans like now only offering an unlimited data plan or you have to pay as you go. You've got, so it's we're narrowing on our choices. So I'd hate to see Clear go out. And I guess Clear and Sprint have been pretty much tied to the hip up to this point anyway. But I'll be honest with you. Right now, we're streaming the show on Tech Podcast is actually being streamed by a Sprint 4G card. But their 3G service, as of the past month, has really taken a hit. And, of course, Sprint is tied again to the hip with Clearwire quite a bit. But this new 4G LTE by Verizon is pretty impressive on a speed point. But 10 days into using my MiFi card, 8 hours a day, I was already over 50% of my bandwidth allotment.
It's halfway to your cap.
Yeah, halfway to my cap. Mm-hmm. And because they can do more.
My experience was kind of the reverse. I had actually been seriously thinking about dropping my Clearwire, you know, the WiMAX coverage, because I'm just not traveling that much.
Right.
But then this past 5 days down in Texas, and where I was in a clear service area, man, it was beautiful, and it performed great. We had and the 3G network was just when I would test that, when I'd swap and put up the 3G modem, it was very, very marginal, and I was extremely happy with it. I mean, to the point where he's saying, you know, you kind of pay on this, you might only use it 3 or 4 times a year, but the times you need it, you can almost justify it for the cost of the thing for the year.
You know, I take my Clearwire modem with me, and I've got the big one. I got the little antenna. I take that with me when I go to Waco, and they have basically 4G there on Clear. But, you know, it's spotty. Texas is a big Clear state, so you can get Clear almost anywhere there. But you go to other places, and, you know, the thing sits there and blinks at you and says, no one's at home. You know, it's either 100% or nothing. So they still have such huge, huge gaps in their coverage area. Same type of deal, but, you know, it's pretty ridiculous. I carry a Verizon hockey puck, a MiFi with 4G, and that's actually a topic a little later too. And then I've got the Sprint 3G, 4G, and then I've got Clear, you know, just so I can have connectivity, good connectivity every place I go. Something's got to give. And of course, these bandwidth caps, that's another thing. Clear, there's no bandwidth caps. And I upload almost all. Matter of fact, I get better upload speed than I do most times download speed on Clear. So I push all my uploads for the shows go via Clear. And they haven't ever come back and said you're using too much bandwidth.
Yeah. Well, I'm just, in any situation where you lose a competitive marketplace, that's just not boding well for anyone. And you know, we're acutely aware of it here in our operation. We have, you know, I would say, instead of 2 competitors, I would say we have like 1/5.
Right.
as far as capability is concerned. And we still do keep the 3G card here, you know, as the third ditch backup. And I've been tempted to go to the Verizon MiFi approach. But again, you know, you're carrying even more services that you have to mix and match. So you sit there and you say, well, geez, I mean, you're spending $150, $200 a month.
Yep.
Just to have these things in your toolbox and using only one of the ones that that you have.
And it's sad. It really is. And with the bandwidth caps, it's not like you can just, you know, go all in on Verizon or go all in on a different service, because, you know, if you're sitting at home and connected to your cable modem, it's not a big deal. But as mobile as I am, I've learned that the hotels, if you get outside of California, outside of Silicon Valley, any hotel from there east, the bandwidth is capped. You get 250K up and maybe a meg down in a hotel room. That's it. I guess for the average bloke that's just checking email, it's good. But when the show must go on, that don't cut it. It really doesn't. So, I don't know. I think we'll see. Of course, you're dealing with Frontier. My mom is dealing with Frontier as well. She spent more hours on the phone with Frontier as of late that she's about ready to get Frontier the boot.
Does she have any alternative?
No alternative, except you staying on her cell phone. And, you know, she's got a cell phone booster. That's the only way she gets a good cell phone coverage there. So it is a bit of an issue. Now, did the Frontier people ever talk to you about your bandwidth there at your studio?
No, just after about four attempts to get them interested, I think we're too small to be of interest to them. I guess I don't know what the issue is, but we're certainly going to, at some point, we're going to need to see if we can get their attention and reopen the discussion.
Yeah, I need more bandwidth here, and I've been pricing it, and uh, I did I did tell you how much they wanted to charge me, right?
No, I never heard the final number. You had to unzip the ground, right?
Unzip the ground is part of it, but they wanted a cool $1,000 for a paltry 2 megs up, 10 megs down. A month.
10 down, 1 up?
10 down, 2 up. $1,000 a month. That's a guaranteed 2 megs up. Huh. Yeah. Pretty competitive, huh?
Well, they may be competitive. That's the sad thing. They may be very competitive in your market.
Yeah, I'm sure they're very competitive here when they're the only deal in town that really has, you know, it's a whole crock. And I actually had someone pretty high.
Was that for your Honolulu venture, or was that there at the house?
I wanted to bring stuff here into the house and for the Honolulu venture. So, you know, I went and basically everything that I'm finding is I'm putting in what it would cost the mainland, and I'm putting either a 5x5 or x10 by every number that I'm coming up with. It's crazy. I understand why businesses in Hawaii are having such a tough time in storefronts.
Hey, I can give you a great view of some beautiful cornfields, or to the west here, we have soybeans.
Yeah, and what am I going to do? Bring in the hula dancers on probably cheaper to sit up there and then fly in everyone every week to do it that way.
Green screen them, Todd.
Or do like Leo does and put the monitors off to the side, you know? Oh, my God. WordPress now is powering 22% of new active websites in the United States. Is that pretty remarkable number?
It really is, obviously, you know, the best tool is the first one you use, the best tool is the one you're most comfortable with.
Yep.
And aside from an excursion in the world of Joomla there for a while, I've really come back because of the podcasting tools to WordPress.
Yeah. But they reported when they updated WordPress 3.2, they had 500,000 downloads in the first 2 days, representing the fastest upgrade speed in blogging platform history. And it's a pretty powerful platform, considering that you can almost skin it any way you want and do it's, you know, it's just gotten to the point where it's just about a full blown CMS too. So. But 22 out of every new 100 active mains are running WordPress. That stats applies to both WordPress.com and WordPress.org sites. So.
And actually, Automatic then is harvesting, let's see, $5 a month from. That's not too shabby.
Is that what they're getting for their WordPress.com sites?
No, I'm just thinking of Akismet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you pay for that, right? Most people don't pay for it, do they?
Well, maybe that's the pro level.
Oh, I see.
Version of that, or the commercial licenses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredibly reasonable, but that's a lot of blogs too, you know.
Yep. So, what do you think about this whole? I mentioned it earlier. What do you think about this whole thing with AT&T deciding that they're going to make choices easier for people by removing their cheaper $10 a month option, which gave users 1,000 text messages, and now saying you've got two options. You can pay 20 cents for each SMS or 30 cents for each MMS, or you have to pay for the $20 a month unlimited option. There's nothing in between. Quite the consult. You know, this whole T-Mobile merger thing's really working out for consumers, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, that seems to be working. I think it's because, my personal usage pattern is low enough that I can stay, I'm sending maybe 4 or 5 texts a day. I mean, it's nowhere near anyone that has kids in their household.
Right.
That's a car payment pretty quick. for my usage pattern, I'm not worried about it, but I think I'm a corner case.
Well, you're on an unlimited plan, aren't you? Are you?
No, actually, for SMS, I still am. You know, I'm paying like 20 cents.
You need to look at your bill. If you're making 4 or 5 a day, that's $1 a day. That's like $30 a month.
I well, maybe I don't think I'm using it that much. I mean, because I'll go days without doing them at all.
Oh, I see.
You know, a busy day for me would be 4 or 5.
Well, I'm lucky if I don't get 4 or 5 texts in an hour from my kids saying, "Dad, where are you at to pick me up from school?" So yeah, and plus, I mean, we've had several. How should we? In the Navy, they call them counseling sessions. When you have a situation that needs to be addressed, well, we've had several counseling.
No, Army uses the same term.
We've had several counseling sessions here in the house about the texting thing, because for a while there, my daughter was the one that was up here, and she's kind of declined now, and now my son is up at this level doing, and boy, when it comes to girls, and all of a sudden the boys get interested, and the boys get interested in the girls, and they start texting, and then it's just, it's all over. They're texting.
Better be on an unlimited plan, huh?
Well, believe me, it would be a car payment or two if we weren't. Wow. If we weren't, yeah, it's remarkable the amount of texting that they're doing, but. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, and I'm kind of old school. I text, but it's usually for, you know, pick up some milk at the store on the way home, you know, withdraw some money at the ATM. It's, you know, it's those kind of texts. It's not, hey, what you doing? So, but people are pretty upset over AT&T right now, over this whole move. Let's Google Plus here, of course, has continued to really drive a lot of traffic, and but they're saying that of course a number of the accounts over there have gotten over their initial Yahoo, and they are, you know, now seeing about 15% of their users being pretty active, but they've added a feature with one click on YouTube you can now watch videos with your friends on Google Plus. And you know, I just don't, are you and I going to hang out, watch videos on YouTube together, Andy?
I don't think so. I think both of us too busy. But that's an interesting capability that could be extended into some useful situations. I'm thinking in small training types of environments.
And, you know, I also have been trying to figure out how to get my own embed into Google Plus, and that isn't possible yet. But you know, they really forced me to, you know, up my game a little bit into the ecosystem. Oh, I will say this about YouTube. I applied for, as Mosey said, you need to get over there and apply for their partner program. It's no problem. You'll be able to get signed up. Well, YouTube took a look at my application for being a partner, and they basically did this. Did you see that?
We're like in digital communications again, huh?
Yeah, they basically said, "Hey, we're not interested." So
what type of content do they find compelling? Is this pop culture sorts of content? Is that what they're looking for?
No, it's if you're not driving views, they don't want you as a partner. It's a waste of their time to add you as a partner if you are not driving a lot of traffic. And, you know, and I don't drive a lot of traffic on YouTube. You know, it's not a focus. They said, "Well, we work on your, you know, work on your channel and work on your, you know, viewer counts, and then come back and talk to us." That was essentially the message I got from YouTube. But you understood. I don't drive any traffic at YouTube.
Speaking of listings, were you able to have a conversation with the folks at Kylo? Yeah, as far as how one gets listed in the Kylo directory?
No, I haven't. Did you talk to them?
No, I haven't. That's one of the things that's on the to-do list, and I'm going to move it back up to the top, because I thought that was a really neat system. If you had it's a free system that is focused on making a website very useful. I don't know if you can pull it up there, Todd, or not, to run Kylo. I can maybe bring it up here. It basically reconfigures a browser page into something that's very easy to manipulate on your flat screen.
Well, let me bring it up here. Kylo.tv. And I'll switch over to the right. Okay, there's Kylo.
Not sure if I can.
Yeah, you should see it come back as a video feed to you. So it says, Kylo better than ever, and the loop costs less, just $79. So is it a device or?
I did the CES interview on this. That's an exciting HDMI cable.
Yeah.
They have a device that looks like a large donut that has accelerometers in it. Okay, at the bottom right there, where you see it says more space and less clutter. That grid there is what comes up on your flat screen TV. Except okay. Each of them would be each of those logos would be maybe 4 by 5 inches. So this device right in the center above CBS,
right.
You can see that ring thing that has a thumb wheel on the top. This is a donut sized device that has accelerometers in it. And just by, a flick of the wrist, you move the, you go ahead, take an HDMI cable and put this up on your flat screen. And then with this particular device, you can go ahead and scroll across and select. And so when it comes to that web page, it plays then the first video that it sees on that page, it brings up at full screen.
Right.
And it's really quite a handy device, and you can still use, it's a free download.
Right.
You can still use it with a regular mouse. To get a feel for what the UI is like, and then decide if you want to go ahead and spend the $79 for the loop.
But you're going to be able to, first of all, you got to have a computer that has HDMI out, and then you just plug it into the TV, I guess, right? So they're expecting you to use your laptop on this,
right,
or something.
Well, you could do that. You could do it with a Mac Mini.
Right, right.
You get a DVI to HDMI cable. You do... In certain situations, you'd have to be careful from an audio standpoint of how to get your audio from one place to another.
Right.
And there, Kylo has a browser. You can put in the URL and it'll take you directly to RVNN and let you bring up one of the shows. If not, you can just use your mouse to bring that along. But it would be awfully nice. And what I'm my question is how do you get, say, for example, TPN TV, $100? how do you get the TPN TV into that directory?
You go to TPN.
So I know you've been your wife has been a particular fan of Google TV, hasn't she?
Yeah, we cut the cord, and this is actually going to go to Michigan. And these two,
uh-huh.
I bought two so that I can send one to my mom, and this video. This needs to be a webcam that can be used on a computer. This is a pretty good camera for a. I've never even tried it on a PC, but so far so good. You know, I'm waiting for the update. I think the update is going to be outstanding. I pray that the update will work with this box. But with same thing with Kylo. Kylo makes it real easy to navigate. On Google TV, you just press the little search button, type in techpodcast.com or geeknewscentral.com, and you go right there and you can see the video. My wife, the church that we go to, they live stream. So when we've got a conflict of interest or something, she'll actually load the church's website up on the Google TV, and she can see the service in full screen. And that has been a big seller for her, for one reason, that she likes the Google TV is she can watch a lot of stuff right there on the browser on the big screen. It seems to have worked out well. So, but this Kylo thing, I think the challenge with Kylo is, again, is you got to run that dog on cable and hook it up, and people like having their laptops on their lap and not hooked up to a television. So, you know, there's a trade-off there.
Yeah, and it really is. I think their particular market is for people who might have an older tower machine that they can put a card in that has HDMI.
Right.
And then use this loop such that they don't have to have a keyboard. There's a soft keyboard on there where you can enter things in and just handle it in that way. The Media Center PC, I guess, is the term for that.
Right.
But I just thought it's an interesting thing, and the thing's cool about it is that the download's free, and you can just kind of experiment to see if that is something that you might be interested in.
Yeah, and I don't know what their usage is right now too. It'd be nice to see if they're growing. And what their user base size is, because I haven't heard too much from them probably since that time. You've talked about them a couple of times, but
yes,
they're definitely not getting a lot of. Let's look at what they're saying in the news. Mm-hmm. And see, it's a lot of the stuff is back 2010, early 2011. So yeah, we'll have to see where they go with their product. But we got to figure out how we can get our networks on there. I think you're right, Andy. Get it as a default landing page on that device.
Right. Well, and as we see in the new media space, it becomes more and more about discovery.
Yeah.
And from a YouTube standpoint, for example, we will publish a segment from our show and then encourage people to come and watch the whole show.
Right.
Try and handle it in that way.
Yeah, that's probably a smart way to do it. Try to drive them over there through the tees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's let me look here at the time. We're doing okay. Skype Wi-Fi is now available on iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch. So this is Skype's been updated from Skype Access to Skype Wi-Fi. And so there's a new app available on the App Store. I don't know if you're aware of that came out a few days ago. And so far, everyone's been pretty happy with it.
Well, I'm kind of boxed in with the hardware because I've got an iPhone 1.
Yep.
Soon to be the 5 when it comes out. And I've got the first edition of the iPads without the camera. So Skype's not been terribly useful to me.
My wife was talking about the iPad, and she's, honey, I really like that new iPad with a camera. You know, the camera's really nice. And I'm like, honey, they're going to be coming out with a new iPad probably in and around Christmas or the beginning of the new year. Can you wait? And I'm getting that kind of, well, let me look on eBay and see what's available. Well, she wants that camera in a big way. So just to hold her off just a little bit until the new one comes out.
Hey, unsolicited plug, but just a satisfied user's endorsement. You know, I've been, as you have been, a subscriber for GoToMeeting for many years because they've been a very active sponsor of ours.
Yep.
I just have been using this past week the HD version with the built-in webcam.
Isn't that awesome?
And that from a business standpoint, what we do is if we are working with someone, you know, out of state that's going on, even though we have, you know, two people here in the office, we'll go ahead and set up a laptop pointing, you know, to the person across the table.
Yep.
And then that gives the experience of the person who's distant. It's just as if they're all there, and you shut the audio off on all of the laptops except for one, so you don't have the echoing issue. And then the distant people can participate right in the conference. I mean, it's just great. The only thing that Google Plus has over it is that automatic switching. But from a business standpoint, it's doing well.
Thanks for the pre-plug there, Andy. Of course, I threw up the banner too to make sure everybody know where they can get a free 30-day trial. You know, what they really did there, it reintegrated that they really needed that with that product. And I've surprised people with it because Mindy, our sales gal, I hadn't done a face-to-face with her. And I said, here's a meeting number. I want you to join us. I said, that laptop that you have has a webcam in it. She says, yeah. And she's kind of unsuspecting and she loads it. And I said, if you're decent, turn on your webcam. And she did. And she's like, oh my goodness. And you know, it takes people by surprise because it's so good. I mean, the video quality is like, wow. I mean, it's really impressive. The video quality is really, it's remarkable. It really is. It's the video quality is better than HD face. I mean, better than a Hangout, for sure.
Yeah, and I've just been running default cameras on the laptops. Now I've got one of those Microsoft Life Cams.
Yep.
On a Windows 7 box. And I really need to bring that up because I think that is. In fact, we were looking at it for content creators. The problem is we can't figure out how to get, if we have two people in the meeting, we'll have the outbound and the inbound, you know, beside each other.
Right.
But when we drop the reverse channel, then the content creator can't see what's going on air.
Okay.
So we got a great view of them, but, right. but they can't see when we have a picture up or a slide or whatever. So
yeah.
We're going to still work on that.
Cool. It was announced on the 17th that basically they turned on a huge portion of the country on 4G LTE. And I'm just looking at the list here, seeing if you got any love down your way. No, I don't think so. I don't think Elkhart qualifies as a big enough city. But they announced 15 more cities that were being switched on. Tucson, Fayette, Verizon. Bakersfield. Yeah, it was Verizon with their LTE. So, you know, here's the thing. They say more than half of the U.S. population will have access to Verizon's 4G LTE. And I want to blow this up. I want to show you this picture. And this is, in my consideration, false advertising at its best. It's loading here. So let me go ahead and make the switch. All right. See that map? See all the red? That's Verizon coverage. But see the green dots? That's where 4G LTE is. So they're very clever in saying that half of the population now has, of course, if they put it in every major metropolitan area, but the rest of the country is sucking hind tit because, you know, they haven't rolled out locations. And I'm looking there. Doesn't look like Elkhart qualified for the...
Really doesn't, and so you know, the question that I have of if I were to drop the uncapped clear coverage on WiMAX and substitute for it capped on Verizon, you know, at the end of the day, have I come out ahead or am I just kind of fooling myself?
Well, I think that uncapped clear is never going to. I guess it depends on how much you're using. If you're using it less than 5 gigs a month, then probably. But I don't know. It's definitely a lot of choices, but no choices, for a better word.
Right, right.
And I'm back to switching with the. Have you noticed that I'm continuing to back up a little further, trying to stay out of the light? The Delta announced that they're deploying iPads to their pilots as electronic flight bag replacements. So instead of carrying all those all those charts and stuff, they're all going to iPads. So, you know, I'm just wondering. I'd like to talk to a pilot and see how the screen. Because, you know, if you're wearing Polaroid glasses, you know how pilots are. You wear sunglasses because it's bright up there. You're usually above the cloud layer. But if you get an iPad, have you ever looked in an iPad with Polaroid glasses before?
No, I haven't, but even just bright sunshine is going to give you some trouble.
Well, you wear a set of Polaroid glasses and you look at an iPad and sometimes you can't hardly read the screen. You kind of have to shift it a little bit to see the actual screen. So I'm curious to see how they've overcome that And but I guess if they've approved it for utilization, they've got it figured out.
Of course, on the other hand, and making sure that you have absolute up to date charts is a very good thing.
Yep. Have you investigated Vidly, Andy?
You know, I've investigated it earlier, but I understand that they have broken out. It's out of beta. It's a full commercial product now.
Yep, it sure is. And, you know, I was looking at this. I'm looking at their pricing here. And so let me ask you a question. What is your, how many videos are you creating a month right now?
Oh, a month?
Yeah.
About 100.
Okay, so let's put 100 in there. What's the average size of your master encoding?
Of the master?
Well, let's use the MP4, the MP4 that you create.
The MP4 would be maybe 250, 250 megs.
Okay, so 250 megs. And let's say that you're getting an average view. I'm just going to use a number here of about 1,000 views per month. Estimated cost per month is $145.
Hmm.
Now, if you take my show, for example, and I'm doing 8 shows a month, the average size of the video is 1,600 megabits. And if I put in my number for my average user count that is that is using that, they want $5,306 a month.
Whoa.
So if I do the average number of, that's the average, excuse me. We're going to have to recalculate yours because that was the average views per month of us of, let me just do a single video, one video. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can sign me up there.
5,300 would be for one video and the number of views I normally get. Now, with you, you do 100. And that was my problem. I didn't figure the size right. And yours were 250 megs. And then let's do 100 times. Let's do that. Let's do 100,000 views a month. Yeah, you're looking about $3,600. Excuse me. It was $100 and some per video, Andy. That's if you were just getting 1,000 views. But their pricing and
I'll be over there. It's on my list. It's kind of like a little bit of an exercise, I think, Todd.
You know, who in the $3,600? There's, you know, I hate to say it. I don't want to say it like this, but this is not a product for you and I.
Yeah.
This is insane.
This may meet the needs of many people, but I don't think it's going to be something that that I'm going to find attractive.
And here's a funny thing. They say, hey, I like this thing is all HTML5. You don't need to do your own implementation. And I'm thinking to myself, we just spent some time putting HTML5 into PowerPress. HTML5 is not hard to implement. This isn't a feature. This is something that should be default with most video services these days. But you buy anything from Amazon lately, Andy?
Have I bought anything from Amazon?
Yeah.
Through Amazon?
Yeah.
Toner cartridge here this week.
Right now, they're saying that Amazon is king of the hill, that they're reaching 1 in 5 web users. And the average person is spending a lot of money on an annual basis with Amazon at this point.
Yeah. Why would I drive a 20-mile round trip if I can, for a toner cartridge, if I can just go ahead, punch it off from Amazon and go on to do something more productive?
Yeah, I agree. And
if I wander through the office store, I'm going to end up with a bunch of stuff in my cart that I didn't need anyway.
And you're also probably going to end up with you may not even have the cartridge. You may get there and they may say, "Oh, we're out right now. We're waiting for delivery. Come back next week and get one." So, but it goes down and lists the top online retailers: Amazon, eBay, Alibaba Corporation. I can't believe that they get that much. That's the Chinese group. Apple.com.
Oh, Alibaba, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Alibaba, mm-hmm. Yep. Walmart, Hewlett-Packard. Hewlett-Packard had like a 2.8% market share. And then a bunch of other groups here in the list. So anyway, that's what I had for tech stuff today. Andy, did you have any cool stuff that you found over the past week that interested you?
You know, cool things. This has been, like I said, coming back from a trade show and just kind of digging out and trying to respond to folks has really been kind of where we're focused. I think you and I talked a little bit about the disappointment I had with that Blackmagic unit.
Yeah.
And I'm still wondering if I had a unit that was defective in some way. And I just after I packed it up, you know how these thoughts when you come back from the UPS store where you've just shipped something and you say, wait a minute, there was one thing I didn't try. I looped it. I didn't come directly out of the TriCaster. I had looped it through a monitor.
Oh.
And that monitor was running in 4x3. And I wondered if, and I just like, oh man, it's just one of the things I didn't check. Right. But we may have option number two to come back, to that again.
Have you seen some of my recent videos that I've, let me go over here. If you know, after all this time, I think I was going with HD for a little bit, and I backed up and basically pulled back on doing HD, and instead
SD 16:9.
Instead, I'm going 640x360, but I'm going with a really good encode, and let me show you. Oops, let me show you what I'm. I'm probably going to destroy the stream here. Let's play this in a new window. Let's open this up. And I've got a lot going on bandwidth-wise here, so this thing's probably going to take a little bit longer to queue if it will even play with all the bandwidth I'm pushing. So right there is, and you can't see it very well, but I'm really happy with the current quality that I'm getting with this current process. And it's one of those things where you just keep whittling away at the process to see what works the best. Now, here's what I like about it. The TriCaster does a great job in recording my master files. And I mean, it does nothing. There's nothing it does it better. But it just seems when I come out of the TriCaster and I go from that master encoding to an AVI, because I can't go straight to an MP4 because the encoding that the TriCaster makes in MP4, in my opinion, is a piece of crap. And I've complained and complained.
Yeah, I would agree.
I've complained to my wit's end. And if you want to upgrade to an extreme, they've got all this, you know, fixed in there, but I don't have another $15,000 upgrade to an extreme. So mm-hmm. Just that 1, 2, 3 process to get to my final video, either too many encodes or something just wasn't right. So by going SDI out of the TriCaster, going into this Blackmagic box, and then I'm recording this Blackmagic box at 720p at 8 megs per second. And then I take that and I shrink that down. And another thing I had to do, Andy, is the Final Cut was having challenges with the MP4 that I was handing it from Blackmagic. So this is something to be aware of. I was having challenges with Final Cut taking that file. The new Final Cut, I just, boy, oh boy, we can spend an hour on that. It's own discussion. but they try, you know, Apple seems to think that they know exactly what you, let's just put it this way. I'm using Adobe Premiere now on the Mac.
Yeah, and there are a lot of professional videographers, my son-in-law among them, who are heading in that direction. I think that was Adobe, amongst people who were already videographers,
yep.
That was the biggest gift that Adobe could have wished for.
Absolutely. Because I'm now able to, and Adobe's got batch encoding, so I can go right in there and I load that in. It takes about 2 minutes for Adobe to ingest that MP4 and get the audio and video all done. And it does a little like minor transcode. But as soon as that's done, I go ahead and I punch the video into the timeline. I do my ins and outs, and I send it to the encoder. And believe it or not, the video is ready to be uploaded before I finish my show notes. So my process here has gotten to the point where I hit stop on the recorder. I encode the audio, starting it to upload. I hit stop on the video. I do the cut points. I get that done. I start writing the show notes. By the time I'm done with the show notes, I can start uploading the media file. And I'm done by 11 o'clock at night here. And with the old process, I was 11:45. So, but, you know, the folks at NewTek could fix this whole thing by giving me a correct encoder that will encode a good MP4.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm wondering if my issues aren't somehow tied with the fact that you're using SDI and I'm still with the analog composite.
I don't think it would matter. I've used composite on this encoder. And it took it just fine. And matter of fact, I had an HDMI input to it as well, and that it took it okay. So I've used it in all modes, but you basically were having a 16:9, which was supposed to be 16:9, and seeing it in 4:3, right? That was your problem with it.
Correct. Yes. And well, it's not only seeing it in 4:3, but it was compressed in its aspect ratio.
Oh, that's
the view.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe running through that monitor was the challenge.
That's the only thing that I really, really wished I'd pulled that out of the circuit. But it was one of those things on a Friday, you're trying to hit the
yep.
time and your thought processes aren't as clear as they should be.
Yep, absolutely. So anyway, I guess for those of you that have been hanging out with us here on Saturday Morning Tech, I want to thank you. And if you have a comment, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Andy, they can find you over at rvnn.tv, yeah?
That's correct. And we have RVNN Live, which is our daily show, and then a variety of shows on different topics, all about the world of RVs. Also some tech shows, the Gadgetplex, which is consumer electronics for RVers. We have Geocaching World, about the whole hobby and an obsession of geocaching, and then the What's Wrong With This Picture, which is a photography show. So some geekly content there as well.
So the question of the day, though, Andy, is when is SDR News going to come back?
SDR News is I can't promise you when, but I just say it will be coming back, because you know I really miss that day-to-day involvement with things. And in fact, Audio Bay here is just getting turned around. We turned all of the desk and the setup in the room right next door to me. So that might be an indicator.
Well, you know, you just got to get out of that whole scripted mode. You know, that's are you becoming better at not being so scripted?
Yeah, much more comfortable with that. And you know, unless we're trying to hit a time hack, for script for a commercial or for a promotional video for a particular client,
then, and that's one of the things that we enjoy about RVing and Live is the fact that we're just more relaxed
and
going through that. And if you can get, particularly if you've got all three or four people for that little segment, that's 20 minutes. It's just fun, just kind of summarizing the day and, you know, what the ups are and what the downs are for that day.
You know, I had been constraining myself to an hour and 10 minutes on Geek News Central, and it just, I felt rushed. I kept rushing, and it was, I was watching the clock, and it was really kind of wearing on me. It sucked. I mean, because I have a certain flow, you know? And so I basically told the audience, I can't do it. It's not fun to work in where I'm trying to constrain myself in this 70-minute segment. And if I'm allowed to just, you know, let it go and do what I want to do, and I'm more relaxed, and that extra little time between an hour and 10 and an hour and 20, we always hit it, but just trying to hit that hour 10 mark every time was proving to cause me to have, you know, it wasn't good. So I went back to not having a constraint on the show length, and I think the product's better. And it's longer, okay. And some people aren't going to like it. As long as I'm having fun, it's all that counts, right?
Right, exactly. And you know, it's a big IP space. There's all sorts of content that meets the needs and tastes of people.
That's
so
right.
Works well.
All right, Andy, thanks for hanging out with me here. I know you got a big day today, a lot of stuff going on. I know that I do too. I've got to get, actually got to pack a suitcase and pack my gearbox yet, so... yeah. Everyone.
Hey, you've got a good early morning start on it here, Todd.
But I do have an upgrade to on my flight out tonight. So I'm sitting in first class. And matter of fact, I'm only, when I get done with this trip, I'll only be 3,000 miles short of my 100K for the year. So I think.
Okay. All right.
So I think that I will be on record track to hit 100K early. You know, I said this year I wasn't going to fly as much because I did 142,000 miles last year. And I'm thinking, I can probably keep this just about 100, 110. It's probably going to be another 130 year before it's all over. But,
hey, Todd, hit 1 million miles, get to stay home for a month.
Hit 1 million miles, get to stay home for a month.
That's right.
How's that?
Read your rule book.
What?
Read your rule book. You hit 1 million miles, then you get to stay home for a month.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you get to take a break and then move forward. Hey, but you know, incidentally, I just also heard that your red carpet membership, you might want to look into this. You can get a credit for some of your Amex points there.
Oh.
So if you're racking up that. Ask about that to save you a few bucks there on that membership.
Oh yeah, because they're not going to. I'm getting right there in the forehead. See that?
Yeah.
That's right.
Because it's not red. You're in good shape.
That's right. They're not going to take it no more because of the merger with Continental. Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay, Andy, and everyone else that's on the stream, thanks for hanging out. I'll have the stream up for a few minutes, but let me shut the recordings off. Until next time, everyone take care, and aloha.
Okay.